The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning, 11 after 6. It is Wednesday, Wheels Up Wednesday, the 1st of May. But remember, we do not celebrate communist worker holidays today. We just don't. All right? We don't do that, which kind of brings me to one story that came out yesterday. I was a little surprised about because there's going to be an informational strike or get together of Providence nurses, and I guess they want to have some sort of an informational picket of some sort. And I do find it interesting that it's on the communist holiday. I hope that's not a change coming over at Providence. Just saying. Okay. You can join the conversation here 770-563-3770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyershow.com. The facebook.com/billmyershow page is up, by the way, too. We're streamed on KMED.com. No app anymore. Just go there right from the website. Easy peasy. Works for Apple, Android devices, or just your conventional computer operating system. Works really, really well. We always appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be. 99.3 KCMD, and of course, 106.3 and 106.3 HD1 and 106.7 in Jackson County. We're doing our part here to stay in touch, okay? Great meeting yesterday at the Roxy Ann Grange in Medford. Had the informational talk on 15-224, 225, and 226. Another very big crowd, just like in Eagle Point, on Monday night. And I just wanted to thank you for your support there and coming out there, because we're trying to make a difference on this one. And in both Jackson and Josephine County, these charter changes need to go down. And I mentioned to the crowd yesterday that there was probably a better chance, or I should say it's going to be an easier opportunity, in my opinion, for Josephine County just to say not just no, but hell no to 17-116. You know, the charter repeal and replace, because they were so overly ambitious and overreaching. You know, the Stacey Abrams clone who is running the Democratic Party was a really big part of that. You know, the one who moved here from Georgia. I forget her name. I'm sure they're all very intelligent. They're very smart people, very well organized. But I think they made a strategic mistake in Josephine County. Jackson County is a little bit different. Because, you know, we got the, you know, the Karl Rove of Southern Oregon, you know, Kathy Shaw probably involved with this, along with Denise Krause and everybody else. And they get former Democrat county commissioners there to try to foment dissent in a county which is very professional and well run. That's just the fact of the matter. OK, that's just the way it is. And I had mentioned last night how Curry County and Klamath County and a bunch of other counties would love to have Jackson County's problems. In other words, no problems, relatively speaking, by comparison. Yeah, we need a new jail. We have a problem with the jail. That's going to be a bigger question for another time. But, you know, pretty well run for the most part. That's just the way it is. And we don't need to expand from 3 to 5. And really, expanding from 3 to 5 is all about getting districts and then, well, going to 5 first. Remember, districts are not on the ballot, but they want to take it from 3 to 5 and then go to districts so that you'll have your Ashland District Committee and you'll have your Phoenix Talent District Committee. And I'm sure that we'll get really great, reasonable policies out of those sections of Jackson County. Just saying. All right. We can talk about that if you want it. 770-5633. A little wrinkle, a little postscript to that meeting last night was that a friend of the show ended up coming in and telling me that she ended up going to the Jackson County for All meeting that was going on at the same time last night in Central Point. And there were a handful of people there. And this is really interesting. We've been banging the goal that what they've been talking about and what the people who have been these petitioners behind Jackson County for All, what they've been all about, is fooling everybody to go for 5 commissioners under the guise of more democracy and more transparency. It's more representation, you know, that kind of thing. And then the goal was always to go to districts, like they're trying to shove down the gullet of poor Josephine County at this point, right? Well, guess what? Obviously, they've been paying attention, because Dave Gilmore, who are, of course, a former Democrat Jackson County commissioner, Dave Gilmore, former commissioner there, ended up saying at last night's meeting with a handful of people there, no, we're not going to be going for districts now. We're not going for districts now because, it's just way too complex, right? Even though this has been the main reason why they wanted five district commissioners. So that way they get at least two of them and maybe more at some point and take over Jackson County with the radical left that runs the rest of Oregon. You know, that's just the bottom line. I couldn't help but laugh at that. Oh, all this time you've been talking in all your meetings about the need for districts because, you know, we have to be districts, get that representation. And now all of a sudden it's too complex to. It's because we outed them, okay? We exposed what the real agenda was. Don't buy that. Just the bologna or the sausage that they're selling over at Jackson County for all. Now that they're saying, yeah, I know we've been talking about going to districts after we were to fool you into going for five county commissioners. But no, we don't want to go there now. We don't want to go there now. You want to trust those people with your government? Come on. Are we supposed to believe this? Rusty Bridge, Al Densmore, who was on the committee, the people that are part of this one, he was pushing that 2 years ago in his failed run for county commission. Well, this will be one of the things that will solve five county commissioners elected in districts. And now we're supposed to believe, oh, that's okay. You conservative types and Republicans, you need to be fooled. Okay, still believe the rest of our deception, fool it, but we promise we won't go. We will not go for districts. Oh, my gosh. How stupid do they think? I think they honestly do think we're stupid. And I'm not going to be fooled, and I'm hoping that you won't be fooled either on this one. Just, it just astounds me. Oh, by the way, Peter Sage, the left-wing blogger, he's also a former Democrat county commissioner. He showed up at last night's meeting over at the Roxy Ann Grange. I have a feeling they're kind of concerned over there at Jackson County for all. I think that they were expecting Republicans, especially with kind of a disorganized or... We have a challenging party structure in Jackson County right now. I'll just kind of leave it at that. I'm sure they were thinking, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be no resistance whatsoever. We can fool the rubes. All we have to do is just tell them, it'll save money. And the Republicans will pop up, like, oh, save money, save money. I'll vote for it. Five. Of course, that's a fraud, right? You know, it's not going to cost less. And then we'll get them, and then we'll feed them the poison of districts later. So that way, divide and conquer, and you'll have district commissioners rather than county commissioners. Well, you have Peter Sage showing up. It's because he's concerned. So I'm sure he's going to be blathering on his blog today about, with his wisdom. I think, doesn't his blog say something on it like, I am white, educated, and I eat privileged, or something like that, you know? Yeah, well, you ate taxes. You ate tax money, Peter. I'm sure you're a fine guy. Yeah, you're privileged, all right, indeed. So anyway, that's what happened last night. And the one takeaway I would have, and this works for both Jackson and Josephine County, both counties can take this to heart. What can you do? I mean, we don't have big dollars behind us. You know, we spent a few bucks renting a couple of halls in the places and volunteers. You know, Jackson County Republican women, Joyce Michelangelo, Commissioner Roberts, my wife Linda Mounts. Of course, yours truly, out there, doing it. What can you do? You know, we're not spending, a ton of money, don't have a ton of money to spend on these kind of things. But we're getting the word out. And the thing that you can do, what can you do about this today? And this was a suggestion from Holly Morton, the Josephine County Republican Party chair. And she's absolutely right. She said this, and it was so simple. Yeah, cell phones. You get telephones. Text message five of your friends. Call or text message your friends today. Five friends, five family members who maybe aren't as politically aware as you are, who aren't as involved in what's going on. Not quite plugged. Because I'd be willing to bet you about 80% of Jackson and Josephine County just have no clue these attacks being brought on by these Democrat Party operatives and these failed Democrat County Commission candidates. I just guarantee that. Most people are just not paying attention. They almost never, especially the non-affiliated voters, they just check out. They check out in the spring election. Eh, I'll be there. You know, I'll be there when it's time to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump or, you know, whatever. You know, that's kind of the way that works for a lot of them. Text message five of them today. Explain to them the evil and these subversive takeovers of Jackson and Josephine County that they're trying to do with 15224, 225, 226, and 17-116 in Josephine County. Tell them about it, why they need to vote no, and why they need to make sure and vote. Not just vote, but no, vote no, but also just to vote, because, you know, turnout's a big problem. Turnout is, low turnout is why the Democrats did it now, because it's easier to slide it by, as they would refer to us, the rubes. You know, the rubes. Because we deserve to rule more than you rubes. So think about that. Text message them. Text message your family, friends. Inform them of why. And then ask them to call or text message five of their friends. Spread it out. Let's make it a grassroots sort of situation. You don't have a cell phone? Use your use your regular phone. If you have the crank phone in the kitchen, fine. Does anybody have a crank phone? Yeah, I don't know. It could happen. Okay, well, you can have those old phones that, you know, with a heavy bell in it. When you slam it down, it goes cling. Much more satisfying than a cell phone, just pressing the end call button. It's just not quite nearly as satisfying. But spread that word. We keep doing this. Get them out. Get your vote out early on everything. And by the way, drop it in the Dropbox. Do your best to avoid any potential hinky by dropping it in the mail where it gets sent up into the system up in Portland. I think that's something else to consider. All right. We can do this. We can do this without, huge marketing and TV ads and things like that. We can do this. They're attacking us. We fight back with our vote. Tell your family and friends. Get them informed on this. Get them to vote. Get them to vote. Vote early, too. Get it in there right now. It's important to get your vote in early. I know the ballots are dropping in the next day or two. We'll be seeing them probably in our mailboxes this weekend. Of course, if it's going up to Portland and coming back, maybe it'll be a week from now. Who knows? Who knows the way that is? But you get a vote in early now because essentially we have to work with legal ballot harvesting. That's just the bottom line, okay? Legal ballot harvesting is what we all have to live with now. You get your vote in early, nice, safe, secured, put it in the drop box, goes right to your county. They count. They'll do that kind of thing. And then the parties and everybody else that are trying to figure out who voted, they know that you voted, and then they will concentrate, get the vote out on people who haven't yet voted. And so they'll concentrate their efforts on places where it's needed, and so we can get better turnout and defend Jackson and Josephine County from these intrusions. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED and KCMD.
If you're an experienced technician, why would you want to work for Kelly's Automotive Service? Because you align with our values. Yes, we're one of the top paying shops in the Valley, and we've won a lot of awards, including one of the top 100 places to work. But we want people to come and work with us because who we are aligns with who they are. Because knowing you're part of something bigger really matters. Please drop off your resume or give us a call. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Before you know it, it will be summertime in Southern Oregon. Ensure that you have a good supply of water before the rush hits. Plowser Drilling is booking for the peak summer season. If you need a water well, you need the experienced and professional team from Plowser Drilling. They will perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Don't take a risk on your well contractor. Contact Plowser Drilling now to get in front of the line. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
mark your calendars for the 42nd Annual Southern Oregon Home Show, brought to you by the Builders Association Southern Oregon. The one place once a year with anything and everything for your home and property. It's May 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Jackson County Expo. This event is your one-stop shop to save money on everything you need for your home and property. Almost 200 exhibitors, Southern Oregon's finest contractors, anything that you need you'll find, with expert advice and solutions for your next project. Have a fun-filled weekend with live music, a beer garden, and the involvement of local nonprofits. It's an event for the whole family. Don't miss out on this opportunity to save money and have a blast. Visit buildso.com for more information or call 541-773-2872. See you at the Southern Oregon Home Show. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Brought to you by the Builders Association Southern Oregon, the self-funding nonprofit that provides education, advocacy, and policy support to the building industry in our community.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Causer Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
626, Mr. X, great to have you here. Great seeing you last night at the meeting over at Roxanne Grange, and I appreciate the use of your wireless microphone. It's a pretty cool little thing. By the way, did I break it when it fell off?
Don't know. Don't, you know, it's one of those things, Bill. We'll get to that. I don't think you did because, you know, it's just funny. It just fell underneath your foot on the flexible part of it.
Oh, good. I think it's fine. I feel better about that. What's your overall impression? What was going on and where we find ourselves right now on this these battles against the intrusions in both Jackson and Josephine County? What do you think?
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, it's almost an area you don't want to go into, but you've got to get into a certain point of a fight back on getting angry. You know, I mean, it's a survival mode you got to get into. And that's the only thing that isn't addressed because it's a political situation. You don't want to bring anger into it, but it's a frustration of the way that these people constructed this whole argument. This whole thing was a falsified group of principles from the beginning that they tried to impart on it. And I just, I look at this and it's at a point, the idea that contact five of your friends, contact 10 of your friends, make it a part of saying, no, not on my watch, not here. We live in a beautiful place. We need to keep it beautiful. And that is the essence of the strength of this country that should be there with everyone, that we need to be active amongst ourselves to push these people back. And basically, we have an intruder coming in here that moved here, as far as I can track it, 2017. And now she wants to enter into local politics, having no knowledge of local politics, no knowledge of the political system, other than principles of socialism that she wants to bring in. And the reality to it is the whole group of people supporting her literally want to undermine the strength of our county.
In fact, everything about five commissioners and going to districts, even though, like I'd mentioned, Dave Gilmore said, oh, we're not going to go for that now. You buying that load? I'm not.
Well, it's, you know, the entire process is ridiculous in its concept.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is go back with their own words from the beginning. And from the beginning, the Jackson County in 1853, we've had three commissioners since. Okay, that's the statutory thing. That's how a county commission was supposed to be set up. But the reality is, like you made the comparison last night, the population density of Portland, they have five commissioners, but they have over 800,000 people. You know, the figures that I can find is 805 to 815. So let's just say over 800,000. There's no mathematical need for more commissioners because of that. Our commissioners are acceptable. They've done an incredible job. Our county commission has literally fought back, and we had an incredible problem that was destroying the economy.
And that is the smoke.
Southern Oregon.
That was the smoke. The smoke issue. Yeah, the professional arsonists wanting to burn in the summer once a fire would touch off in Jackson County, you know?
But I want everyone to understand that's what's under attack, their stance on controlling. We had over 200 and some odd fires last year, okay, in Jackson County during fire season, and we burnt about 20 acres of land, okay? And I don't remember the actual figure, but it's now that's compared to 200,000 to 300,000 acres that we were burning. And the reality to it is we have a bunch of professional arsonists that are supported by the state university policy intrusion.
And also the people behind Jackson County for All. They are into this whole burn all the summer, prescribe burning here, this and that, the other, choke it. The lightning strikes in the summertime, let the forest burn and destroy our lungs and our tourism industry. Yet another reason to say no, because the current board, the way the board works and the way they coordinated with the federal land managers have been protecting us from that. Ed? Thank you very much for that, as always. You bring up a very good point.
I appreciate your efforts.
And they're trying to fix something. They're trying to fix something which isn't broken. It's just broken politically for them right now, and we have to keep that in mind. Thank you, Ed. Let me go to Bob. Bob's in Medford. Hello, Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. I am not a fan of five commissioners. But, you know, what people have to look at is we have – you know, city councils and mayors in each of our major cities, White City not included in all of those, and they work with the county on a lot of issues that, you know, intermix between the cities and the counties. So we've got government. We've got government in place. We don't need more government. And I just wanted to, you know, kind of point that out, that we have enough government.
Yeah, we have plenty. The idea that all of a sudden we go with five at large and then five in districts and all of a sudden everything's all sweetness and light, no, doesn't mean anything much at all, okay? Bob, good point. Thanks for making that. We get Dave in the Iron Gate. Dave, they're taking out the dam today? Is that what they're starting on the Iron Gate? What's that?
The San Francisco Chronicle announced that they were going to start the removal of Iron Gate today. I don't know how they're going to do it. Unless they're going to dig it out, because they're not allowed to use, they're not allowed to drill boreholes for.
Yeah, because of all that hydrostatic pressure in that clay that is in the core of the dam.
There's other. There is some good news. Nevada Land Board and some county commissioners there voted to give us 1,000 horses for the fire brigade, and thanks to Captain Bill Simpson's work on that.
All right. You know, I have to get him on the show. We'll talk with him about it soon, Dave. Appreciate the call. Thank you for making that. I'll grab one more before news, and then we're going to get Eric Peters on and get into Wheels Up Wednesday talk, hit the open road. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Oh, good morning, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. This is Francine.
Yeah, Francine. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to mention that another thing that we can do to reach people is just go around and talk to people when we see them. When I walk my dog, I stop and talk to my neighbors. In fact, last night I had a really good chat with one of my neighbors, and he happened to be a pretty intelligent man, so it wasn't as hard as it is with some. But I suggested, you know, I explained kind of what was happening with the district thing, and then I mentioned in order a lot of people don't believe that they're being lied to. You know, they just can't conceive that they're being lied to. And I said, well, you know what they did with the dams, don't you? And he says, I only hear what's on the news. I said, well, that's not what's happening with the dams. And I gave him the name of the California Globe and Siskiyou.News and told him to look there. I said, you want to find out what's really going on with the dam? That's an example of what's going on, or, you know, the way they're deceiving us with everything else, including these measures. And he was interested in that. So maybe people could just put on little pieces of paper the two links to those two sites. You know, I mentioned Captain William Smith.
Yeah, except the dams really have nothing to do with our particular fight politically.
Bill, okay. It's not that. I'm trying to get these people to see how they are deceived, how they're not being told.
Yeah. Getting people to understand that they have been fooled is very difficult. And sometimes it's a negative reaction, you know, to that, too, in which you will hold on to you'd rather hold on to the comfortable lie than expose yourself to the truth. I'll side with you on that, you know.
That's I'm trying to make a point not to get them all worked up over the dams. I'm trying to illustrate to them and give them a resource that's everything is there about the dams. So they could see what really happened.
All right.
And so, and they're not being, it's all, it, I don't know, Bill, you know, you disagree with me all the time, but.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you all the time. I just don't want to go down dry holes at this moment. At this point, the goal is to is voter turnout in a very low turnout election, normally speaking, and where most people go to sleep on that. And that's the main
I understand.
The main focus.
I'm telling you, when I mentioned the Dems, this guy, his eyes kind of opened a little wider when I started explaining to him the level of deception of what we're being told about, you know, which is what they're doing with these measures. They're telling us how great it's going to be, and it's a lie.
Yeah, okay. And that's the takeaway. And thank you, and continue to work on that, all right? Call, talk to your neighbors like Francine's doing. Text message 5, text message 10, talk to 5, talk to 10, whatever it takes. Spread the word. It's grassroots. Jackson and Josephine County, defend yourselves from these intruders. This is the Bill Myers Show. Eric Peters joins me next.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner? Here's 5 good reasons. 1, I've worked on the people's side of government over 20 years, defending our property rights, our liberties, and our freedoms from government overreach and intrusion. 2, because when you elect me, you'll get a man of integrity who will honestly listen and hear your concerns. I will never forget I work for and serve the people. 3, I'm a team player on the people's team. I'm not a politician. I'm just like you, believing in lower taxes, financial responsible, and transparent government. 4, I have no hidden agendas. I will openly work to see the people's will expressed through county government to be your voice inside government. 5, as a conservative, I am done letting politicians waste our tax dollars on nonsense while we're robbed by drifters, choked by smoke, and gouged by outrageous housing costs. Learn more at VoteRonSmith.com. Paid for by citizens to elect Ron Smith commissioner.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The latest in the anti-Israel protests are to wreak havoc on college campuses in the midst of violent clashes between opposing groups. Police and riot gear descended on the UCLA campus today. In New York, the protests that paralyzed Columbia University ended when police moved in and made dozens of arrests. Pressing his current Mideast shuttle diplomacy mission, Secretary of State Blinken is in Israel now, and he has met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Florida's new pro-life law goes into effect today, while in Arizona, another attempt will be made today to repeal an 1864-era abortion ban. The Biden administration looking to reclassify marijuana as a somewhat less dangerous drug. Workers, activists, and others in Asia's capitals and European cities marking May Day with rallies and marches demanding better working conditions. More details, srnnews.com.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with 3 teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around. Never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Crater Chainsaw is fully stocked with Carhartt this season, and it's all on sale starting May 1st. Shop spring Carhartt specials throughout the store. There's a great selection of Carhartt for men and women. Long and short sleeve t-shirts, jackets, coats, pants, bibs, gloves, beanies, and lots of hoodies with Carhartt down the sleeve in a variety of different colors and sizes. On sale May 1st through Saturday, May 11th. Shop Carhartt at Crater Chainsaw for 58 years at 1321 North Riverside in Medford. Parking and entrance behind the building.
Voting is being tabulated for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest, presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Results are coming soon. Meanwhile, go to bestofsouthernoregon.com and reserve your ad space in the 2024-25 edition of Best of Southern Oregon to be published in July. All the information is there, and flip through the current online magazine, too. Thank you to all who nominated and voted in this year's Best of Southern Oregon contest, and good luck to all of the 1,500 businesses who were nominated.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Wheels Up Wednesday. Is it a highway to hell right now? I don't know, but we're going to dig into it all. Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius over at epautos.com. Eric, welcome back. Always good to talk with you this morning. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm good, Bill, and I've got great news. The government is going to keep us safe yet again.
Oh, no. Every time the government says it's going to keep us safe, it's usually some nanny nattering nabob of negativism or whatever it is that one vice president used to say years ago.
Oh, no. It's just this time they're just going to make sure that your car brakes when it needs to slow down, don't you know?
Oh, okay. Why am I a little suspicious about this? Just slightly. What are you speaking of? Is this the main article on epautos.com, the driver who doesn't?
It's kind of breaking news. People listening may know already that most new cars have something called automated emergency braking, which applies to the brakes when the car thinks you need to stop. Well, they're making it an official federal requirement beginning with the 2029 model year. And it's going to be an even more aggressive and peremptory system. And they're marketing it as, oh, it's safe. You know, if you don't notice that there's something ahead of you, just slow down and stop. The thing will stop for you. Of course, what they're not telling you is that safety is going to be expanded to encompass such things as, you better not drive too fast because that's not safe either. They've already told you that part of it. This is the other part of it. This is the mechanism that they're going to use to exert yet another degree of control over what really isn't your car, except in the sense that you get to pay for it.
You say software licenses and everything else, and then you're connected, and then the car companies then sell your data, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that before.
Yep.
Although I have to say, you can opt out. We might touch on that here in just a little bit. So the automatic braking, in other words, will be a mandatory. Now, this is Pete Buttigieg, all right, doing this, okay? Is Pete Buttigieg saying that this is going to be like mandatory, as in you cannot turn it off, and so it's on all the time, whether you want it to be on or not? Or
correct.
Oh, so it's all the time. You won't be able to turn it off.
Because it's going to be a federally mandated safety device, just like you can't turn off your airbag. You know, that's a federally mandated safety device.
Okay. And what could be the downside of a car which is automatically going to decide that it knows better when to brake than you might?
Well, among other things, what if the guy behind you isn't prepared for your car suddenly randomly jamming on its brakes and he piles right into you? Or what if you need to swerve or make a so-called aggressive maneuver in order to avoid an accident? All of this is predicated on the assumption that you're an idiot, that you're incompetent, that you're so addled and moronic that you can't recognize the need to slow when it's appropriate. So now we've got to have the car do that for you.
Well, there is a case to be made that the more safety of these safety devices that we have, the more moronic and idiotic and non-attentive many drivers have become. Maybe that's sort of positive feedback loop.
I agree. It is a feedback loop. You know, I've been saying for a long time, you go back to the 80s when ABS first came online. And what ABS did was to relieve people of the need to maintain a safe following distance because, oh, the car won't go into a skid and I won't wreck. I'll just, you know, rely on my ABS.
Right.
So, you know, people have forgotten how to brake, you know, in a way so as to keep the car under control and to maintain following distances as a result. And all this stuff just continues to elaborate and get more and more insufferable, more and more invasive, more and more intrusive.
All right. Now, Pete Buttigieg's rule here about requiring the braking system, Model 29, 2029, don't most of the cars already have some version of this right now?
Oh, yeah, they do. But two things. One, it's not as aggressive as what the federal mandate specifies for 2029. And the other thing is, in most cases, you can still disable it. You know, there's a button you can push, just like the ASS button, you know, for automated stop-start. Most cars that have that system, if you don't like it, and that's probably 99% of the people, just push the button and you don't have to deal with it anymore. This is going to be something you can't turn off.
All right. You said that the rules are going to have a more aggressive version. What is the definition of a more aggressive version of automated braking in these cars that Pete Buttigieg is putting in place?
Well, a couple things. One, it's going to have to be operative per the mandate. It speeds over, I think, 80 miles an hour. In other words, effectively all legal speeds in this country. And the other thing is it's going to have to be able to identify things like pedestrians, and I guess that goes for both in front of you and behind you.
Oh, so for the backup or the or the forward motion. Okay.
Yeah. And again, some of the cars already have this. You know, I've experienced this because I've got, you know, a lot of greenery and bushes in my driveway. And sometimes when I'm backing up one of my press cars, I get too close to a shrub and boom, the thing hits the brakes, even though I'm, you know, perfectly well aware there's a bush there.
And so you don't mind if you're going to just tap the bush in order to get out or get around, right? That kind of thing. We all do things like that from time to time. Okay. All right. Is it just me, or does it seem that Pete Buttigieg is trying to make sure you just don't want to buy a car?
Well, of course, that's exactly it. You know, he's not shy about it either. He and these other people are doing everything they can to make driving as systematically unpleasant, as unaffordable, as undesirable as possible because they don't want people driving. He's an urban planner type. You know, they would, their heart's desire would be for all of us to live in those so-called 15-minute freedom cities where you can walk to everything or take a government train or a government bus that's controlled by people like Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, and by the way, unionized help, of course, doing that. You ever read LouRockwell.com by chance?
All the time, yeah. I know Lou.
Yeah. Did you happen to see Paul Craig Roberts' article this morning?
I did. It was well done.
Yeah.
He's exactly right.
Yeah, Paul Craig Roberts, I think he's channeling his inner Eric Peters today. With a great take on it. It was cars used to make us happy.
Yep.
Used to make us happy. And he was talking about how, as you have talked about and waxed poetically or eloquently for years on, is how the safety cult has taken the fun out of a lot of this. Isn't that interesting?
Not just fun, but beauty, aesthetics. You know, there's a reason why you have old car shows. Go to an old car show and look at people admiring the magnificent vehicles that have been made over the past, 100 years. All the way from, the early part of the 20th century up until recently. Nobody cares about the cars that are being made now, with a handful of exceptions, and I highly doubt there are going to be any classic car shows for vehicles made this year, 30 years from now, because who cares? They're just plastic appliances, and they mostly all look the same.
The biggest comment that that really struck me when Paul Craig Roberts ended up saying that the modern car is designed in a heavy style and brutish, and I thought that was that was a great term, brutish. It's like kind of like the old Soviet Union apartment complexes, the block
brutalist
of
architecture.
Yeah, brutalist architecture.
Great book.
Yeah,
I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but he called it the architecture of doom. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not familiar with that book, but I'd sure like to read more of it. I'd like to find out more about
it. Brutalist architecture, both in Nazi Germany and in Soviet Russia, just these big, heavy, ugly things everywhere. Nothing that's beautiful, nothing that's colorful, just the same bleak, overbearing bigness of things.
But you see, that's what makes those classic car shows so enjoyable, though, was that it wasn't just about being big. Because, American cars were big, back in the day, especially, they certainly were. But there was style to it. There was a lot of finesse to it. And who couldn't look at, like I said, I can still remember Big Pete Konupchik coming up, driving up to in front of our house to visit my father. We were living in Logan's Ferry Heights, Pennsylvania, and he had a 59 Cadillac Coupe de Ville convertible.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even as a little kid, that car was the most beautiful, beautiful thing I'd ever seen on four wheels. I still have such... Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And not only that, there were happy cars. Think about vehicles like the old Nash Metropolitan and the old Volkswagen Beetle. And there are innumerable cars of that type that are such a contrast to this gigantism and brutalism of today. They were happy. They were up. They were upbeat. It was kind of almost like a dog wagging its tail, as opposed to this menacing, growling look that you see today in the grills of these vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. The brutalist, as it were. You could even take it to the Ford Pinto. We had a Ford Pinto, and say what you will, it was a friendly looking car at that time.
Right.
And it's like they're trying to take the friendliness out of everything. And maybe that's part of the culture that we've allowed this to seep in. I don't know.
I think there's actually an interesting duality here in that I think that most people today feel out of control. They feel under the control of everything, and so they feel powerless. So why not market to them these hyper-aggressive-looking, over-macho vehicles? I can feel like I've got some control in my big monster truck, jacked up, lifted, with its 3-foot-tall grill and all of that. I think there is a correlation there.
Yeah, and by the way, I got the tune on it, Roland Cole, right? That kind of thing?
Yeah.
I wonder when they're going to start cracking down on that. I wonder when that's going to be the next attack on people.
Well, they already are.
They are?
I think they're doing that in New Jersey. They're actually sicking like armed goons on people, you know, who have been identified as having tampered with or modified their diesel-powered trucks, you know, with aftermarket exhausts and tune kits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that if you take your car into the dealership and they detect a tune, your warranty is usually voided, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and all that stuff is stored in the memory. So you've kind of got that Hobson's choice if your vehicle is under warranty. If you do anything to it, they'll void your warranty. So yeah. You basically can't do anything to it unless you want to void your warranty.
Yeah. Talking with Eric Peters this morning, epautos.com. If you have a question or comment, this is a great time to dig in. If you have a question about a car, classic or otherwise, Eric has probably either test driven it or knows quite a bit about it. His latest article right now about Pete Buttigieg's latest outrage. And isn't this the guy that that rode the limo in one time, but he rode his bicycle at first just to make it look right? Didn't he do that?
Yeah, sure. Exactly, a photo op. You know, and you can cut down to the nitty gritty here and ask, why is this person even in the position to be issuing these decrees in the first place? What is Pete Buttigieg's expertise in terms of transportation or anything technical at all? You know, he was the mayor of a small town at one point. That's his expertise. You know, but his expertise is political. He fits in line with the regime's agenda, which is very much anti-car, anti-personal mobility. So he's got all the qualifications in the world.
Yeah. The driver who does it. That's what it is on epautos.com. 652. Eric, stand by. And if you have a call or question for Eric, jump in. 770-5633. We always appreciate you starting the conversation here and keeping it rolling on Wheels Up Wednesday.
American Rentier Garage is your premier auto care provider.
Sir, this is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Eric Peters, epautos.com. It's the Wheels Up Wednesday segment every Wednesday morning at about this time. Taking your calls at 770-5633. Jim's in Jacksonville. Jim, you wanted to comment on street rods or ask Eric a question about it. Fire away. Go ahead.
Thanks, Eric. With respect to classics, like down in Harris Museum in Reno and street rods right here in the Valley, do you see any legislation coming through to limit that area of fun for us or nip that in the bud? What's the status? I know we have special plates, etc., but you see anything coming our way to limit that fun?
Well, not specifically, but generally, yeah. I think it's inevitable that they're going to target older vehicles, and they'll do so on the basis of both safety and the environment. They'll say that in order for you to be able to operate that vehicle on public roads, it must conform with XYZ standards. And if you can't, well, then you can keep it, but you can't operate it on public roads. That's the kind of thing that I foresee them doing.
Now, nobody has come out for that yet, but that's where you would see that this would be the natural progression of the climate emergency agenda kind of thing.
Well, sure, and we have precedent for it. This actually has been tried in the past, but there was a lot of pushback. The last time I remember this happening was back in the 90s when proposals were floated to require that older vehicles meet higher than factory original emissions standards, or else they would be denied registration and tags.
Right.
And there was a lot of pushback because at that time, the classic car hobby was still quite big and, you know, powerful. But now, if you go to a car show, it's mostly old guys that are there now. You know, there are a handful of kids, but for the most part, this is a graybeard thing.
Yeah, and maybe this has been the whole point about trying to get kids uninterested in transportation or moving themselves around with a vehicle.
Sure. Right? You know, eventually it's going to be kind of like the old train hobby. You know, there are still a handful of people who like coal-powered steam locomotives and things like that. But it's not a widespread thing. And unfortunately, I think that's where we're headed with cars.
Now, speaking of which, the big boy locomotive from Union Pacific is actually going to be coming out to the West Coast later this summer. And I want to see it before they ban that from going out there.
You better. It's not a joke. It's exactly right.
I know. View our history while it's there. Vicky is here. Hello, Vicky. Thank you, by the way, Jim. Hi, Vicky. What are you thinking this morning? You're with Eric Peters.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
Doing just fine. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I live out in the Applegate, and I am so fortunate. I'm almost 60, so I'm very fortunate to be able to watch the classic cars go by. We see everything from the BMWs to the Corvettes and the Camaros. Mm-hmm. And then some of, like, the older cars. I grew up with my family. My dad had 40 Fords. And and 56 coupes and just all kinds of really old cars. I love the smell of them. I love the way the sound of the clutch when it goes in or when you shut the door. Nowadays, it's like, oh, my gosh, if you try and just open one window, I have a Kia, which I hate. Sorry, Kia. And when you go to just crack the window, you get like a vapor barrier thing going on where it's almost like wah, 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 wah. And you have to, you're like forced to open up more windows to get that.
Oh, you know, that's not just with Kia. I think Eric can weigh in on this too, because he checks these out. It's not Kia thing. My PT Cruiser is the same way. And if you open up one to a certain extent, you have to open up another one because of residents. That's not uncommon, is it, Eric? I don't think.
No, she's exactly right. It's very common. It's because the modern cars are very tight. You know, back in the day, you had vent wing windows, for example, and you could crack that open to let airflow in. And a lot of cars actually also had pull vents. There was a knob you could pull underneath the dash that would open and close ducts that would allow air to flow into the car. But once AC became standard in everything, which it's been for at least probably 20 years now, I think, the focus became on reducing noise intrusion into the car. So they made them very tight, you know, against the outside. So when you crack that window open a little bit, you get that weird resonance thing going on.
Yeah, so I don't think that's anything specific to Kia, okay? But I appreciate your call, Vicky, okay? But I understand still the irritation with it. You know, speaking of Kia, though, that's one of your latest reviews, and it was a positive review here, the Kia EV9, an EV at least. There's two versions of it available. There's still one that you can get. You can still get the Kia with the V6, but they put a lot of variety, apparently, into the electrical options. Why don't you give us your overall take on that?
Yeah, most people will be familiar with the Telluride, which is a very popular, very successful mid-sized crossover SUV that Kia sells, and it comes standard with a V6, and it's, you know, very affordably priced, about $35,000 to start. People like it. Well, now you can get basically the same thing with a battery, which is called the EV9. Costs a lot more, about $20,000 more to start.
So instead of $35,000, it's $55,000, but that's okay. Yeah. That's really sustainable in the Pete Buttigieg world, okay?
And it goes about half as far, but I will say this in its defense. You know, you and I have talked about this many, many times. I've driven a lot of EVs, and this is the first one that seems to at least accurately estimate how far you can go on a charge.
Yeah.
However, there's an asterisk to that. This vehicle has something I've not seen before in an EV, which is a range that has ranges. In other words, you'll have a main display that says you have, say, 150 miles of range left in the car. But then up above that, there's in small type a more optimistic figure, say 200 miles. And then below that, in small type, there's the less optimistic figure, which might say 80 miles. In other words, the algorithm is constantly calculating how far it thinks the vehicle will be able to go on a charge.
Is that because the algorithm is analyzing your driving habit and perhaps the terrain? Are you heading up a hill? Did you turn on the air conditioning in the summer or turn on the heat in the winter? You know, that kind of thing?
Sure. Factors, which again, you have to keep track of, which is just another aspect of owning an EV. When you don't own an EV and you have a regular car and you've got half a tank of gas, well, you know you've got half a tank of gas. And if you've owned your vehicle for a while, you have a really good idea of how far you can drive on half a tank of gas.
There are times you were talking about that this was the first one, this was the first EV, I guess, that didn't lose a lot of miles when it was coming back to your home?
So it seemed, yeah. But, you know, there's a part two of that coming up. And yesterday I took it out again. And this time, the gap narrowed considerably. Now, it didn't dump by the usual 20% that I've had in the past with other EVs, but it was pretty much close to what was advertised.
And I think it's important to note what happens in driving in areas that have steep grades and lots of hills, because Southern Oregon's quite mountainous. I mean, yeah, the city is relatively flat, but everything around it, we're driving up and down grades all the time. So it's something to keep in mind. And that's why I've appreciated how you talk about going back to your Virginia home and how, you know, you're out in rural Virginia and you're headed up a lot of hills when you're on your way back, because this is real world driving and people need to understand these things.
Yeah, and so is the variation in the weather. You know, it's another factor that we've not had to consider in the past, because if you drove a regular vehicle, it got about the same mileage in the winter as it did in the summer. There really wasn't that much of a difference.
Right.
But there is a big difference when you're driving an EV, if it's very cold outside or it's very hot outside.
But overall, you kind of gave a, you know, a pretty positive look, though, at the Kia EV9. And I think a lot of it was because you get a chance to determine what type of EV9 you want. And I'm not talking about colors and options, but how you want to build it for the type of driving you do. Is that kind of a way of looking
Kia
at it?
Kia offers multiple configurations that emphasize different things. So if you want one that goes farther, you can get one with a less powerful motor and battery setup that increases the range. On the other hand, if you want one that's quicker and more powerful, well, you can choose that at the cost of less range, and they have something in the middle. And another thing that's kind of cool about it is that the As It Comes model is rear-wheel drive. You know, that's uncommon. The Telluride is a crossover, so it's based on a front-wheel drive layout, and you can get all-wheel drive. You know, they make it look like it's a truck-based 4x4, but it's a crossover. This EV, on the other hand, actually has more functionally in common with a truck-type SUV because it is rear-wheel drive.
Interesting.
And you can get all-wheel drive. And because of the leverage of the electric motors, you don't need a transfer case and four-wheel drive low gearing to get a lot of grunt out of this thing.
Now, given that it has that feel of a truck-type frame and rear-wheel drive, can it tow? Just curious.
Well, it can, depending on the setup. The one that's designed to go as far as possible on a charge only pulls, 2,000 pounds, if I remember correctly. But if you get the more powerful setup, it will pull 5,000, which is the same as the gas engine Telluride.
Okay. All right. Very good. So there you go. Interesting review. You can read that. The 2024 Kia EV9, that's on epautos.com. There's also the Toyota Corolla Hybrid from the week before. By the way, we started off with talking about Pete Buttigieg's automatic braking rule coming in mandatory 2029 model year, though. I remember you telling me 2-3 years ago about a car that wasn't it some Toyota that had that system? And tell me about the experience that you had with the automatic braking. Maybe they've gotten better. I imagine they would.
Well, this was rather unsettling. This was the most extreme experience that I've had with this technology. I happened to be driving along the normal road that I take practically every day to go downtown to run errands and things. And there wasn't anybody in front of me, and there was nobody behind me. It was a nice sunny day. And I'm driving along, and I'm probably doing about 40, 45 miles an hour when all of a sudden the car just brakes very hard and comes to a complete stop in the road. I don't know why it glitched, or maybe it saw a bird in front of me or for whatever reason. And it didn't matter how hard I pushed down on the gas, the thing would not move. And I was grateful that there wasn't a big rig barreling down behind me, which would have run me right over.
Oh, yeah. Now, did the manufacturer ever tell you what had happened? Did they have an explanation on why your car, when it's automatic braking that Pete Buttigieg is going to mandate in 2029, why that automatic braking just stopped your car in the middle of the road for no reason?
Nothing specific, but I think I know what happened. Because I've had a similar experiences happen in other makes and models of vehicles. Let's say that you're going around a curve and there's on the shoulder there's a berm or a tree.
Right.
Even though you're not headed directly at it, and you in your mind know the road is curving and you're not going to go off the road and pile into the berm, the system, which isn't that smart, sees that as an object in the path of the vehicle and will hit the brakes.
Oh, okay. All right. Not that smart. And I guess the assumption is that by 2029, the system will be so smart that it can't possibly ever be wrong, right?
Well, ask Tesla about that with the autopilot. You know, there's this there's this really silly assumption that this technology is smarter than human beings exercising their brains, and it's just not true. It's as smart as however the programming and the sensors that they depend on is, and that's within a limited range of parameters. And if a situation arises that's outside of the programmed parameters, the system doesn't know what to do.
All right. epautos.com. Rate it. Check it out. Support the site. We'll have you back next Wednesday. And do you have a new one to review yet? You can kind of give us a little taste of? What?
It's going to be, this time I actually looked it up. It's going to be a Genesis GV 70, which is a crossover, but it's based on a sports sedan and it still has a V6. So we'll have some good things to talk about next
week. All right. Looking forward to it, Eric. Thanks so much. Great having you
on. You bet, Bill.